let's go ahead and turn to the last portion of chapter 3, Revelation chapter 3, 14 to the end. Okay, let's read it all together. Amen. And to the messenger of the church of the Laodiceans write, these things says the Amen, the faithful and true witness, beginning of the creation of God. I know your works, that you are neither cold or hot. I could wish you were cold or hot. So then, because you are lukewarm,
I will vomit you out of my mouth.
Because you say, I am rich, have become wealthy, and have need of nothing, and do not know that you are wretched, miserable, poor, lying, and naked. I counsel you to buy from me gold refined in the fire, that you may be rich, and white garments, that you may be clothed, that the shame of your nakedness may not be revealed, and anoint your eyes with eye salve, that you may see. As many as I love, I rebuke and chasten. Therefore be zealous and repent. Behold, I am standing at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come into him and dine with him, and he with me. To him who overcomes, I will grant to sit with me on my throne, as I also overcame and sat down with my Father on his throne.
He who has an ear,
let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. Amen. Praise the Lord. So, is Philadelphia the last church? Stefan, when he was sharing, and he says, finally, we reach Philadelphia. And it's really, this is what the Lord desires. This is the church that is prepared, right? It is well-pleasing to the Lord. And so you would think that it would just stop there. But there is still Laodicea. And Laodicea is very, very much needed for us to hear. For me, I think this word speaks the strongest to me. Because all my life growing up, I've always been told, John, you have a very good start. You have a very good beginning. Then you need to finish strong. And oftentimes when I hear that word, I'm saying, but I'm doing well. Why do you need to keep reminding me to finish strong? Well, this is why the Lord is speaking again. We need to finish strong. And I appreciate very much, right from the beginning, it says, the angel, the messenger of the church of Laodicea, write, these things says the Amen. Right? The Lord is the Amen. What he says, we say, Amen. Let's do it. Follow him. The faithful and true witness. I very much appreciate much of the burden in this time to see from the beginning that Jesus Christ is the faithful witness. He was obedient to the Father to do the Father's will even unto death. And this is how the Lord wants us to finish. Right? He is the beginning, he is the end, the first and the last. He finished strong because he reached the throne. And he wants us also to finish strong to reach the throne. And I appreciated also the word true witness. True witness, because He is also the reality. He is the substance. It is through him that we can reach the goal. It is not us, which is why it's good in Philadelphia. You of little strength. It's not about us being so strong in ourselves to make it to the goal. But it is the Lord as our reality to take us all the way to the goal. Right? And each day, I know for me, especially in these preparations, but it's been on my heart because we see the signs of time is coming quickly. The Lord is coming quickly. And each day when I start my morning walk, I'm telling the Lord, Lord, I want you to be the faithful one within me to bring me all the way to the goal. Amen. We're so close. I don't think anybody wants to stumble in the last part before the Lord comes to take the first fruits. We all want to be spared. We want to be taken out of this hour of trial that we were warned in Philadelphia. And this is really the burden, that the Lord would spare us from that, that we all would reach the goal. So day by day, may we keep our eyes on this wonderful, faithful, and true witness that we can finish strong. But what is the problem? The problem is our condition. We are neither hot nor cold. What are we? The Lord says, because you are lukewarm, you're neither hot nor cold. And the Lord even warns us, I will vomit you out of my mouth. That's how disgusting the Lord feels if we are lukewarm. Right? It's kind of like if you watch Enoch eat, and if the food is not right, what does he do? He spits it out. Doesn't taste good. It's neither hot nor cold. It's lukewarm. Oh, Lord. And I was considering this matter of lukewarm. Why would the Lord be in just so disgusted that he would vomit us out? Some of us have some of you may have experienced team projects, right? Elizabeth, you're a stage manager, right? You're managing how many people? So many people to do the production. I hear often from students and those who are working, they're on team projects, and the most frustrating thing is when members of the team are indifferent and they're not carrying their weight and you have to do the work. How do you feel if you're in that environment? Is it good, Jennifer, to have half your team just not in it? It's frustrating, right? In that sense, to be lukewarm about a project, this is for the job or for whatever, it's frustrating, right? And many times for me, when I'm dealing with that environment, I wish I can just remove them from the team. And when you try to help them and you talk to them, what do they say? They get, I got it. Don't worry. I know what to do. I know. Leave me alone. Or they become very defensive. Well, don't you know I have this and that and all this kind of stuff to deal with? That's why I'm like this, right? Oh, Lord, the Lord is very clear. I will vomit you out of my mouth if we are lukewarm, right? Oftentimes in these team environment, you always hear this phrase, are we all in? Are you all in? Are you in it? Do we want to bring the project to completion? Right? The Lord wants to close his age. He wants his kingdom of priests. Are we all in it? Are we all in to follow him faithfully to the end? And why is Laodicea lukewarm? The Lord tells us very bluntly what our problem is. It says, because you say, I am rich, have become wealthy, and have no need of, have need of nothing. Right? Have need of nothing. So what is going on here? It can be summarized with one word. It's pride. Earlier in the conference, it was already shared. Today, there are so many books, published messages, and podcasts everywhere. The library, the internet. Everyone is seemingly rich in knowledge of the Word. And many don't even come back to the Lord. They're just, you know, hey, I'm fine. I already know what you're going to say. I know, right? But the Lord is telling us something. He's trying to tell us something. And yet, we think we're okay, right? How do you know you think you're, how do you know you have this mindset? It's when the brothers or anybody speak to you and you say, I know. This is the operative word, I know. And anytime I hear the word, I know, it's for me to stop talking because they know. Even though I see the real situation and the condition, everyone just loves to say, I know. That is our attitude. I know this, right? I think some have mentioned, even myself, we're going into the book of Revelation, and we're going to be in chapters 1 through 3. And what's our first reaction? Again, chapter 1 through 3? I know. Right? But the Lord exposes us, he says. And we say I am rich, but we do not know that you are wretched, miserable, poor, blind, and naked. Brothers and sisters, this is our real condition. Right? Just because we think we know, does not reflect on what our real condition is. And oftentimes, what comes along with I know is justification. To justify myself. We become defensive. We give excuses. This is the pride in us. This is our real condition, brothers and sisters. And you know, today, we are in this stage. The Lord has given us much riches. Yeah. I very much enjoyed the conference, you know, to see that this conference in chapters 1 through 3, to see the burden of the priesthood being brought out. I don't know about you, every verse that I read with this view, you can see the priesthood just coming out of the Word. Everything in these three chapters is related to the priesthood. But if we say, I know, and if that's our attitude, then we will be blind. Pride comes blindness, and we will not see our real condition. This is why the Lord is very strong and very direct. I don't want to say to the Lord, Lord, I already know. Because if I say that, and if I have that attitude within my heart, then the Lord cannot expose the areas that still need perfecting. Right? And then he also gives us counsel. Right? The Lord says, I counsel you to buy for me gold refined in the fire that you may be rich. The Lord is counseling us. He's advising us. How often do you get counsel from your parents? And you say, I know. Or maybe you get counsel from your manager and you say, I know.
Well, I know better.
Or I know better. And actually these days, I haven't been in a working professional environment for a little bit, but in talking to people, that's the attitude. I know better.
And I know best.
Exactly. I know best. Right? But the Lord is counseling us. Your manager, your teachers, your parents, they're counseling you. But what is our attitude? Are we so proud to say, I know best? You don't know me, so you can't counsel me. Because I know myself the best. No one understands me because I know myself the best. This is what I always hear. Which is why oftentimes I don't like to counsel anyone. Because everyone thinks they know the best. The only thing I can say to anyone who says that to me is, you're right, I don't know you. But you know who knows you the best, better than yourself, is the Lord Himself. And here the Lord is saying, I counsel you to buy from me and three items. And these three items are definitely related to the priesthood. Right? I counsel to buy from me gold. Now, to buy means what? You have to pay the price. What price is it that we have to pay today? Oftentimes, the Lord is reminding me, if we want to follow the Lord, what do? We deny ourselves, pick up the cross, and follow me, to follow the Lord. When you go to Revelation chapter 12, about the man-child, the overcomers, what was a characteristic of them? Right? Not only did they overcome him by the blood of the Lamb, by the word of their testimony, but they what? They did not love their soul lives, even unto death. Are we willing to not just to swallow your pride, it's to cut it, to purge it. Are we willing to purge our pride to buy the gold? And you know, this gold is not the gold bars from Fort Knox. This gold is God Himself. Are we willing to buy more of God Himself? And this gold is not just, here's perfectly fine gold. I mean, He is the perfectly fine gold, but it says gold refined in fire. Meaning the process for us to buy this gold, there's fire involved to refine it, to purify it, because there is still so much impurity within our hearts. Are we willing to pay this price today? Oftentimes, as I'm praying, Lord, I want to buy gold, the Lord reminds me of 2 Peter chapter 1, to be diligent to add to our faith. Amen. Virtue, knowledge, self-control, godliness. Right? Perseverance, endurance, godliness, brotherly love, and the love of God. Be diligent to make your call and election sure. Right? Where am I going to get all this? This is God Himself, the Lord in His fine humanity, to pay the price, to deny my soul life, that the Lord can add this gold into my being. Right? And then also to buy the white garment. Amen. That you may be clothed. Right? What is this white garment? Right? When we enter into the priesthood, into the holy place, what garment do you put on?
It's the white, the priestly garment. It's the fine linen that needs to be put on. Right? And if you consider this, the more we buy of this white garment, what else is it? In Revelation 19, we see that it is the bride who has made herself ready because she's arrayed in what? Fine linen, white and clean. And what is this? The righteous acts of the saints. Right? So this is a matter of paying a price. You cannot just get this garment free. No. If we are not willing to deny our soul lives, to put our pride aside, how can Christ, how can we put on Christ for his righteousness to be lived out of us? And then even the eye salve. What is this? This is the ointment that heals us, our eyes to see again. Right? In 1 John, we were talking about the holy anointing who teaches us all things. It's very good. He's teaching us all things. But at the same time, it's an ointment. Like it's rubbed into your skin to wherever, and that ointment heals you. We also need to be healed by the Lord.
Amen.
But this is the price. The Lord is counseling us to buy gold refined with fire, to buy this white garment, and to buy the eye salves for our eyes. He's counseling us. He's encouraging us. He's telling us this is our real condition. We need to be healed in this way. And in verse 19, it says, "And as many as I love, I rebuke and chasten. Therefore, be zealous and repent."
Amen.
I'm thankful to the Lord that even now, in our situation, if we are lukewarm, in his love for us, he is rebuking us. He's chastening us. Why? He wants all of us to reach the goal, to make it to the goal, right? James, if you want to be the best in whatever you're pursuing, wouldn't you want a coach or a mentor to guide you there? And to tell you, James, you're doing something wrong here, you should do it this way and be better this way? Would you like that? Of course, right? Many of our professions, I always hear new hires, they go, "Who's my mentor?" Oh, they didn't give me a mentor, so I don't know how I'm going to succeed in this job. Well, who is the best to reach, to bring us all the way to the goal? It's the Lord himself. Because he is the one who has already gone through everything that we are going through, and he is now seated at the throne. Why wouldn't we then take his chastening and his rebukes? Right? What is our attitude when the Lord is speaking to us in such a way? Do we just run away? Lord, that's too much pressure. I've had this, at one point on my job, when I was just trying to help new hires, and they said, they didn't complain to me. They went to my manager and they said, "John is applying too much pressure." And the manager would actually tell them, "Actually, John's being very easy on you." So today, when the Lord is speaking to us, what is our attitude? Are we going to be, as the Lord says, "Therefore be zealous and repent"?
Amen.
Or are we going to say, that's too tough. Too much pressure." Or maybe we will just give a lot of reasons to defend our position. Right? Oh Lord, may we also be zealous and repent.
Amen.
I want to be a person who, when the Lord speaks, to be extremely open to receive his counsel and then to take his word and run with it. Amen. The phrase people like to use today is, I want to be coachable. I want to be able to be taught. I still want to learn, right? You know, what is our attitude today? Unfortunately, the culture of this society today is, it makes it very difficult for anyone to be coachable because they think they know best. And now you have AI helping you too. Right? But this is what the Lord wants us to do. Be zealous and repent, to turn back to Him. And He's not doing this in, I appreciate verse 20. It says, behold, I am standing at the door and knocking. He's knocking on our door to our heart. Do we hear the knocking? And it says, if anyone hears my voice and opens the door. Meaning, as much as the Lord is counseling us, He's not going to break down the door and come barging in and tell you, do this. No. He's knocking on the door. He's speaking to us. He's waiting for us just to open the door to let Him into our hearts. And then when He comes in, is He going to lecture you?
To dying.
Have you thought about that? Right? Sometimes we're afraid to open the door because you might get yelled at by your manager, right? He wants to correct you. You open the door, He's not going to just say, hey, let's go out to eat and have a nice meal. But here the Lord is saying, if we open our door, what is He going to do? I will come into Him and dine with Him. And He with me. So even how He chastens us, He wants to come and eat with us. Which takes us all the way back to Ephesus, which is, if we overcome, what? Of Him I will give to eat of the tree of life in the midst of paradise. So even in His chastening and His correcting, what He's really bringing us back to is to dine with Him. It's a matter of eating His Word. And if we come back to His Word in such a way, to dine with the Lord, then the Lord can do the work in us. Because He's trying to remind us and to show us, to him who overcomes, I will grant to sit with me on my throne. But the second phrase is what I appreciate the most. It says, as I also overcame and sat down with my Father on His throne. He doesn't want us to do it by ourselves. He wants us to do it together with Him. Amen. He is the Amen. He is the faithful and true witness. Because He has gone all the way to the throne. And now He wants to counsel us, to help us to reach the throne. So praise the Lord. If we learn to just open the door, to let Him in, to dine with Him, then He can bring us all the way to the goal. Right? We already know He is our example. He's accomplished everything for us. He's the captain of our salvation. I think we all know. There's so many things that have been fellowshipped and shared. We all know. But let's not be proud. Let's take the counsel of the Lord. Amen. And if we take the counsel to pay the price today, then we can overcome. Then He will bring us all the way to the goal. Amen. Hallelujah for such an encouraging yet sobering warning. May we not be lukewarm. Amen.